Maybe you've wondered why there is a picture of an Olympic athlete, a runner, on the front of your bulletin. We'll get to that. The title of today's sermon is When God Leaves You with a Limp. When God leaves you with a limp. We all have limps. We have scars, we have emotional pain, we have mental struggles in some cases, and we have hurts, both physical and otherwise. And some of those hurts, they go back decades. Maybe other people don't really know about that, or most people don't know about that in your life. Some happened last week, very recent. Genesis chapter 32, it's the first book in the Bible, so it's easy to find. Genesis chapter 32. You can turn there in your Bible, or it'll be on the screens in a few minutes. Genesis 32 has one of the oddest stories in the Bible, and there are a few like that in the Bible. But we remember when we read a story, even when it seems a little odd, we realize we are reading God's literal word to us. He wants us to know these things. All the stories in the Bible, all the things we read in the Bible are there for a reason. And this story, unless they're marked otherwise in the Bible, this story is a real story that happened to real people. It's not a myth or an allegory or anything like that. It happened. And since God included it in his word, he wants us to know about it, and he wants us to learn from it. The setup is this. Jacob and Esau were twin brothers. And to put it mildly, Jacob and Esau came from a dysfunctional family. There was a lot of dysfunction with the parents, with them. That these two guys, these two twins, were at each other constantly through their life. There was dysfunction in their own children. Eventually, they grew up and moved away from dad and mom and went their own ways, but they had not reconciled. As a matter of fact, Esau had promised to kill Jacob one day. So these guys, we were picking this thing up. These guys are older guys. They're established in their lives. They have wives. They have servants, animals. They have a business in agriculture. At this point in the story where we pick up their story, Jacob hears that Esau is coming his way. And he had not seen him in years. He knew that Esau had promised to kill him one day. So he's worried that he's going to come take my things, my wives, my animals, and he's maybe going to kill me, because he had threatened that before. But Jacob came up with a plan. And so his plan involved sending different groups of his servants and animals and his property and so forth to try to minimize the damage. So Esau can't attack all the groups. Maybe he gets one, but he can't get everything. And so Jacob stays behind with his immediate family. And then finally, after all those groups are sent out, he sends his family ahead and says, he'll catch up with them later. And so where we pick up the story, Jacob is alone, and it's nighttime. So Genesis 32, verse 24. This left Jacob all alone in the camp, and a man came and wrestled with him until the dawn began to break. When the man saw that he would not win the match, he touched Jacob's hip and wrenched it out of his socket. Then the man said, "Let me go, for the dawn is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." "What is your name?" the man asked. He replied, "Jacob." "Your name will no longer be Jacob," the man told him. "From now on, you will be called Israel, because you have fought with God and with men and have won." "Please tell me your name," Jacob said. "Why do you want to know my name?" the man replied. Then he blessed Jacob there. Jacob named the place Peniel, which means face of God, for he said, "I have seen God face to face, yet my life has been spared." The sun was rising as Jacob left Peniel, as he was, and he was limping because of the injury to his hip. And by the way, Jacob and Esau, they didn't kill each other. Nobody died. Nobody took any property. They ended up making peace with one another. You can back up in Genesis a few chapters and read this whole thing, and then read on from here and see how that came out. I want to go back and highlight two verses. I already read them, but I want to highlight first verse 28. "And the man said to him, 'Your name will no longer be Jacob,' the man told him. 'From now on, you'll be called Israel, because you have fought with God and with men and have won.'" He named him Israel. This is like the Israel. Jacob's name became Israel. Israel, the people that came from Jacob's family and his sons, they made up the Israelites, the Jewish nation. There's a country still today. You can go visit there, and you can go visit the country that was named after Jacob, the Israelites. An entire people came from him. Now, Jacob was a fighter. He would not give up until the man blessed him. He wanted a blessing. He recognized this man must come from God. Remember, the only thing at the end of this story, Jacob's living his life just like you do, day to day. He doesn't know about Israel, the nation. He doesn't know about the Jewish people and the Messiah and all of those things just yet. He knew two things, that he received a blessing from this individual, and that the guy said, you've got a new name named Israel. He didn't know what was ahead of him. He couldn't have known at that point. So he may have gotten this blessing from this guy, but he did not walk away unhurt. Verse 31, the sun was rising as Jacob left Peniel, and he was limping because of the injury to his hip. You may see writers, if you've studied this before, a Sunday school lesson, something like that, they say the limp was permanent. Some say it wasn't. Yeah, you can't really prove it one way or the other, but circumstantial evidence, I think, points, and I lean hard toward that Jacob lived with this limp for the rest of his life. First of all, the hip was the location of the injury. And if you've ever had an injury to a hip or hip pain, you know what that's like. Here's the other thing. We're thinking about Jacob. He's this young guy. He's wrestling this unknown man. And maybe he's 25, 35 years old. Now, Jacob was 97 years old when he wrestled this guy. 97 years old. So you got a 97-year-old guy, and his hip got yanked out of place. A lot of scholars have done deep dives on the language, people smarter than me, and they attempt to show that it was his sciatic nerve. Some of you have had sciatic nerve pain before. I've had that before. And I do believe that Jacob dealt with this at least on and off for the rest of his life. Jacob lived to 147 years old, so he dealt with this pain, this limp, for 50-ish years, give or take. Maybe you've had to live with something for a long time. Maybe it's physical, like Jacob. Maybe it's mental or emotional, relational. One other quick thing about Jacob in this wrestling match, you've probably heard it said that Jacob wrestled an angel. But there's nothing in the biblical text that I just read that says he wrestled an angel. Well, he did wrestle an angel, and I'll show you why we know that in Hosea 12. I'm not going to spend very much time here. Hosea 12. Hosea is an Old Testament prophet. He's talking about Jacob. I'm kind of picking it up in the middle of this prophecy. But he mentions Jacob, and I want to show you this. Chapter 12, verse 3. Even in the womb, Jacob struggled with his brother. When he became a man, he even fought with God. Yes, he wrestled with the angel and won. He wept and pleaded for a blessing from him. There at Bethel, he met God face to face, and God spoke to him. The Lord God of heaven's armies, the Lord is his name. I like that part in verse 4 where it says he met God at Bethel. That's kind of nice. There's no point to that. I just like that it says that there. That's how we know that the man that wrestled Jacob was an angel sent by God. And we have a couple other little details he put in there too. I'm not going to get into it today. This is probably one of those times where you sit around a round table and talk about these things. But there's no inconsistency in Scripture here where it says man in Genesis and Hosea says angel. It's got to do with some language and Hebrew thought and the way they wrote things in a literary sense. So I just take my word for it. You could study it for yourself. There's no contradiction or inconsistency with Scripture. So it's a strange story. For sure, it's an odd story. Like, where did this come from? Jacob probably wondered the same thing. So it's a strange story from our perspective, and it's got to be strange from Jacob's perspective, but God knew what he was doing. God planned this. This wasn't just an angel happened to be where Jacob was and came by and decided to wrestle him. This was a plan. And you understand, he has a plan for you, even when it seems weird, even when it seems odd, and you don't know why. It's like that. It's that way. The picture on your bulletin is from the 1992 Olympics in Barcelona, Spain. We can bring that one up, Devin. The runner is Derek Redman, and the other guy there is his father, his dad. Before I go any further, just out of curiosity, don't give anything away. Does anybody know this story? Do you know? I'm just wondering. Just a couple people. Okay, you know what's coming. All right. 1992 Olympics. Does anyone remember who came in first in the 400? That's what he's running here. After today, and the people that raised their hand, they remember this, you're going to remember the guy who came in last. Derek Redmond was born in England, and he shattered the British record for the 400 at 19 years old. A few years later, he made it to the 1988 Olympics, his dream. 1988 Olympics, he had to pull out because of an injury at the last minute. He had to have eight surgeries, come back from that. He worked and worked and worked for 4 years, comes back to the 1992 Olympics. He was picked by many analysts to win this thing, win the whole thing. The race starts. He's in lane five. 65,000 people are watching in this big stadium. There's a lot of great videos of this on YouTube. Some of them are a little sappy. Some of them have better camera angles than I'm going to show you. But the reason I like the video I'm about to show is that this is the live broadcast from NBC. There's just some very, very minor editing in it, but I like to hear the reactions as it was happening in real time from the announcers. They didn't know what was going to happen. So here is a recording of the live broadcast, the men's semifinals, the 400, 1992 Olympics in Barcelona, Spain.
Tom Hammond and Craig Massback back at Olympic Stadium in Barcelona, coming up to the men's 400-meter semifinals. Here are the lane assignments. Steve Lewis in lane three. Top four to Wednesday's final. Steve Lewis in lane three. Roberto Hernandez out quickly in four. Now down the backstretch.
Ismael on the left of the screen is running very, very quickly. And inside of Lewis, Sunday Bada of Nigeria.
And Derek Redmond of Great Britain has pulled up with an injury. Redmond is out.
Derek Redmond, the British record holder, and an important member of that British 4x400-meter relay team, as he doesn't want anybody to help him.
It'll be Lewis to win in 44.50.
Look at this. He's going to try to finish his semifinal race. The British have a certain tradition of running, which you have to respect.
A bizarre finish to this first semifinal in the men's 400 meters. Derek Redmond of Great Britain pulled up with an injury halfway down the back stretch. He's fighting off those trying to help him to finish the race in his lane. And now the pain too much. Swelling throughout Olympic Stadium as Redmond, with assistance this time, approaches the finish line he had wanted so desperately to reach. That is the Olympic spirit.
Cool. 65,000 people on their feet cheering by the time Dad was on there helping him walk to the finish line. That's the guy who came in last place. And actually, he didn't even get last place in the record books. They disqualified him. All that work, no medals. His athletic career was permanently over. Just more surgeries ahead of him, which he did have. Now, Derek Redmond did not give up on life. He ended up playing a little basketball in England, and he became a motivational speaker. He still is. He's in his 50s now, and Nike did some commercials based around that story. You may remember those from 10 or 12 years ago. So no more running, the sport he loved, the sport he trained for, the sport he held a record for a while in England. He worked hard, he fought, comes back from these surgeries, and then bam, less than a second, it's over. Later on, Derek Redmond was quoted, "I wasn't doing it for the crowd, I was doing it for me. Whether people thought I was an idiot or a hero, I wanted to finish the race. I'm the one who has to live with it." His dad later on said when he first went out there, one of the first things he said to Derek was, "I'm here, son. We'll finish together." And by the way, I enjoyed your chuckle. I love it when the security guys or whoever that was to come on the track, because he's not supposed to be on the track. They're like, "Get out of here." I like that. Now, as far as I know, Derek is not a follower of Jesus Christ, so I'm not trying to over-spiritualize the story, but Derek was left with a limp for the rest of his life, and he had to adjust to a different life, not the life he planned, just like Jacob had to adjust to a new life, not the one he planned to have. I think there's enough evidence, but again, I'm not teaching it as absolute truth, that Jacob lived with this limp, this pain, for the rest of his life. He went on to birth a nation, the nation of Israel. We are here today because of Jesus Christ. That's why we gather every Sunday, to celebrate the risen Christ who saves us. And if you know Jesus, you have salvation. If you don't, I'd like to talk to you. But for those of us that call him Savior and we confess him as Lord, know that he came through this family. He's one of Jacob's ancestors. What is your injury? Derek Redmond had a hamstring injury. Jacob had a hip pulled out of socket, maybe a sciatic nerve thing he dealt with. What's yours? Job problems? Financial issues? Your kids are going the wrong way? Not going in the way you taught them? You have some health concerns? Maybe relationship with issues? Lost love, maybe a broken heart, spiritual doubt. You don't understand God and why he does certain things the way he does them. Maybe you deal with loneliness. Maybe some problems in your extended family. Maybe a temptation that you can't just seem to get past. Or a sin in your life that you're trying, but you haven't had victory over it just yet. And you feel like, I can't serve with that. Maybe you struggle with forgiving others in certain cases. Maybe people have made fun of you as a Christian or for being a Christian. Maybe you've been left out. Maybe you've been emotionally beat up for some reason. Or maybe it is a physical problem, causes you pain, difficulty. Maybe it's a mental struggle. Maybe nobody else knows about it. First of all, you need to know that you're sitting in a room full of people with limps. We all have limps. I have them. I came in to be your pastor, and I've got plenty of limps I brought in with me. But God is the one who says, you take your next breath. He's the one who says when you take your last breath. So you are alive because God says so. You are alive for a reason. And whether you have a limp or not, or a whole bunch of limps, you're still called to kingdom work. None of this gets you out of that. God has the power to remove limps. And probably we have a lot of testimonies in here where God has done those things. He's brought healing to situations. But sometimes, as hard as it is to understand, as hard as it is to accept, God chooses to leave you with a limp. Maybe you don't understand. Why would God allow that? That's painful for me. I don't like dealing with it. Why does this thing happen? Why am I dealing with all these things? I often wonder about Jacob, and did he sometimes wonder why he allowed that injury to happen? Why couldn't he have just, I'm going to name you Israel, and I'm going to bless you. Why couldn't he have done it that way? But he caused this injury in his life. I don't know if Jacob wondered about that. The Bible doesn't say. It's likely, again, he dealt with some version of it all the rest of his life. But God had a plan. And he had a reason. He had a reason for doing what he did. And he's a plan for you. And there's a reason for leaving limps in your life as well. You have been grafted or adopted into God's family. If you know Jesus, you've been brought into that family, the family that Jacob and his ancestors began, that God ordained, brought God's chosen people through. You've been brought into that because of Jesus Christ, if you know him. You're called to follow Jesus. That's the first call in all of our lives. And when we answer that call, and I hope you have, if you haven't, let's talk. But once you answer that call, you are commanded to reach people for Jesus, to teach people in Jesus' name, and to serve people in Jesus' name. And so you've got your limps, right? We all have limps. And depending on your situation, you've asked God to take it away, maybe for a long time now. You've prayed about it. Maybe you fasted about it. Maybe you got some friends to fast with you. Maybe you got some friends to pray with you, and you prayed some more, and then you got some advice, and then you read a book, and you got some more advice and some more prayer. But the limp, still there, still there. It's hard to understand. It's hard to accept. But God leaves your limp there for a reason. It may never make sense to you in this life. The most likely reason that God leaves you with a limp is to help other people that may have a similar limp. I don't know. I can't say why God leaves your particular limp in your life. But even when you come to terms with that and say, well, God has chosen to leave this in my life for some reason, I may or may not understand it and so on, that doesn't mean it's not hard. I recognize that it's hard. I recognize that some of you are going through very difficult situations, physical, mental, emotional, relational, all of those things. Remember that Jesus knew about limps. He knew about limps. Jesus knew loneliness. He never had a wife to share his life with. Often he was abandoned. He knew about temptation. That temptation that you deal with, you know that Jesus was tempted in the same way. And you think, well, not that way. Yes, that way. The book of Hebrews says that Jesus was tempted in every way we are. So he was tempted in your way or something similar to it. Jesus knew great personal loss. His father almost certainly died young. We don't have the exact thing that happened in the Bible, but Joseph wasn't around in the time Jesus had ministry. Only Mary was there, she's mentioned. So it's a reasonable assumption that Jesus experienced someone dying, a parent dying. The point is he knows about limps. He knows about your limps, and he truly cares. Sometimes you may not feel that he's there, but he is there, and he does care, and he truly understands. He walked this earth and lived a life just like you. He gets it. He understands. And he still calls you to himself and to kingdom work, even with your limp. It's often hard to understand these things. But God planned your limp. It wasn't to be mean. It wasn't to be cruel to you. He had a reason. He has a reason. God must trust you quite a bit if he's left you with that limp. When God leaves you with a limp, he trusts you to use it for his glory and for the benefit of others. Shauna Evans, if you'd come up, Shauna's going to play as we have a time of ministry this morning. We'll just see where God takes us. I'm not going to ask you to come up front, but the Holy Spirit can speak to you where you are and what you need to hear from him today, and if he calls you to action in any way, you can do that. I'll let you and God do that. So we'll give you a little bit of space in just a moment. So maybe you're going through something hard. Maybe it's a serious limp. Maybe people know about it. Maybe nobody knows about it. But I want you to know that God cares. Psalm 34:18. Would you listen to this? Let the Holy Spirit speak these words to you. These are God's words. Psalm 34:18 says this: "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit." He cares. He still wants to use you in the kingdom, no matter what else is going on in your life. He wants to use you to reach people for his name, bring them into the kingdom. He wants to use you to teach people through your life and to serve people, serve the hurting, the lost. So what does that mean for you today? I don't know. That's between you and God. So I'm going to ask you to just bow your head, close your eyes, and listen to what God might have to say. We'll see where God goes with this. Get your hearts quiet. Focus on Him for a moment. Just a few seconds, I'm going to pray. And if you want to, I'm going to look around, and everybody else has their eyes closed, I hope. And if you just want to recognize that you need prayer this morning, doesn't matter what it is, God knows what it is. I won't say your name or anything like that. But if you want prayer, you know, you want to reach out to God, would you just raise your hand right now and let me know? I've got several hands going up all over. Okay. A lot of limps in here, right? Anybody else? All right. Even if I missed your hand, God saw it. God saw it. I saw many, many hands. For those of you that raised your hand, and really for all of us, as you think about the hard things in your life, the limps that God has left in your life, Psalm 23 is probably the most familiar psalm in all the Bible. It's short. It has nothing to do with limps, but God led me to read this morning. And so I want God's word to speak to you. And then I'll pray. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to His name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for You are close beside me. Your rod and Your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. Surely, Your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. My friends, all of that is true for you. Even in the middle of your limps, your struggles, the pain, the things you don't want anybody else to know about, all of that is still true for you. And I want you to know that today, and I think God wants you to know it today. Father, I come to You today on behalf of all my friends, asking You to speak to them clearly in any way You want to, and bring healing to situations that are difficult. And physical things too, Lord, where healing is needed. Relational issues, mental issues. Lord, we bring all these things to You, asking You to do what You will with it. We want Your will. I pray that for every person here. Lord, help us to accept when You choose to leave these things in our life. Help us to find ways to use it for the kingdom. I pray, Lord, that You continue to lead us, no matter where that means we're going to go, but You still lead us where we need to go. Again, Lord, I thank You for every person here. I pray that they leave with a blessing, knowing that You love them, that You hold them close, that You are dear to them, or that they are dear to You. And Father, I lift everyone up, especially those that raise their hands, but everybody else too that may have things on their mind. I lift them up in the powerful and precious name of Jesus. Pray these things in His name. Amen.